جزء 3. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, compassionate to all, merciful to each. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to our third episode in this podcast series titled Journeying Our Eyes Through the Quran, Exploring 30 Juz in 30 Days. Today, inshallah, we will continue our journey through the pages of the Quran as we take a brief look at the third juz of the Quran. This juz contains the last 33 verses of Surah Al-Baqarah and the first 92 verses of Surah Al-Imran's 200 verses. This last part of Surah Al-Baqarah is particularly notable as it contains the famous Ayatul Kursi or verse of the throne, which is highly recommended to recite whenever possible. It is said to be Sayyidul Ayat or the leader of verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, if not the entire Quran. And one of the reasons for this may be because it is the only verse in the entire Quran which contains 16 references to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using 5 of his names and 11 of his pronouns. In summary, the verse establishes the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that everything is known to him and through him alone. Everything is under his dominion and control, and moreover, running the affairs of the universe does not burden him in any way. If we are believers who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, actively negating all else, then we have held on to the strongest of handles, or urwatul wuthqa. After Ayatul Kursi, Surah Al-Baqarah then goes on to note a few stories related to life, death, and resurrection, including Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam's debate with Namrud, Uzair's resurrection, and how Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam sees resurrection in action through birds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders him to cut up, who are then miraculously brought back to life through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The chapter ends with an affirmation that everything belongs to Allah. He knows everything that we are capable of when it comes to the test that he gives us, when it comes to undertaking the various laws that he has given to us. The last verse contains a beautiful dua for Allah to shower us with his mercy and to forgive us in light of our weaknesses in obeying his commands, a fitting and beautiful way to end a Medinan chapter like Surah Al-Baqarah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
Allah does not task any soul beyond its capacity. Whatever good it earns is to its own benefit, and whatever evil it incurs is to its own harm. Our Lord, take us not to task if we forget or make mistakes. Our Lord, place not upon us a burden, as you placed on those who were before us. Our Lord, lay not upon us what we have no strength to bear. Excuse us and forgive us and be merciful to us. You are our master, so help us against the faithless lot. The juz then transitions to the third chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, which is called such due to the fact that it discusses the family of Imran or the house of Imran. This chapter is also Medinan, much of it revealed around the time of the Battle of Uhud, and as such it contains many notable discussions about early Islamic warfare and the struggles that the early Muslims had against their oppressors. Another notable verse is verse 3 of Surah Al-Imran, in which there is a very heavy discussion to be had in Quranic sciences with regards to the nature of understanding the Quran and the nature of its verses. This verse lies at the heart of many of these debates, and lengthy commentaries have been written on it. For further reading, you can refer to pages 215 to 244 of Volume 2 of Ayatollah Hadi Ma'rifat's Introduction to the Sciences of the Quran, or Ana Matabatabai's Tafsir of the Verse, which is available on almizan.org in English. Additionally, in Surah Ali Imran, there is the famous verse that was revealed on the occasion of the Mubahala, which is probably why we see discussions of the Islamic perspectives on Prophet Isa alayhi salam and his family discussed comprehensively in this surah. Approximately 25 verses explore the stories of the family of Imran, whom the chapter takes its name from. In biblical literature, Joachim is the name for Imran. According to our hadith literature, Imran was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Bani Israel. However, his story nor his prophethood is directly referred to in the Quran. He is mentioned three times in context and in relation to his relationships to others. His family is noted as a family that was chosen due to their exceptional nature. He is the father of Sayyidah Maryam salamullahi alayha, and in ahadith literature he is noted as a descendant of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. He is conspicuously absent from the story in the Quran, which describes the birth of his daughter Maryam alayhi salam, which we will soon explore. Stories in the Quran are not told without purpose. And as we explained yesterday, even Islamic laws are accompanied with ethical injunctions and a holistic way of looking at every facet of Islam. Stories in the Quran are also told in this vein. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to share with us specific stories, in the hopes that we take lesson from them. Their primary purpose is not for us to focus on extraneous details, but rather to reflect on how they can help us in our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's proximity. The story of Sayyidah Maryam salamullahi alayha is told here. Sayyidah Maryam salamullahi alayha is noted with exceptional reverence in the Quran, her name mentioned 34 times, and her being the only woman to be named in the Quran. She is also noted in the verse وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَنَا نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ, meaning that she has a certain distinction, that she is exceptional, and that she has been chosen above many women of the world. In ahadith literature, she is famously noted alongside others as one of the four highest women of paradise. According to the narrations reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidah Fatima sallallahu alayhi does hold a higher rank for being the best of women of all times. The story of Sayyidah Maryam salamullahi alayha is explored primarily in two places in the Quran, once here and the other in Surah Maryam. This particular passage in Surah Al-Imran primarily discusses Sayyidah Maryam salamullahi alayha and her birth and her upbringing. In it are stories that are exclusively held in the Quranic tradition. The spiritual status that she reached was what rendered her worthy of revelation and the miracle of Prophet Isa alayhi salam's birth. It was not the miraculous fatherless birth that simply granted her this status, but the story begins at her own birth and the way in which she was raised as the daughter of Imran alayhi salam. Let us take a look at the passage in question.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allah astafa Adam wa Nuhan wa ala Ibrahim wa ala Imran ala al-alamin Dhurriyatan ba'duha min ba'd Wallahu sami'un alim إذ قالت امرأة عمران رب إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني إنك أنت السميع العليم فلما وضعتها قالت رب إني وضعتها والله أعلم بما وضعت وليس الذكر كالأنثى وإني سميتها مريم وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم فتقبلها ربها بقبول حسن وأنبتها نباتا حسنا وكفلها زكريا كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب.
Indeed, Allah chose Adam and Nuh and the progeny of Ibrahim and the progeny of Imran above all the nations. Some of them are descendants of the others, and Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. When the wife of Imran said, "My Lord, I dedicate to you in consecration what is in my belly. Accept it from me. Indeed, you are the all-hearing, the all-knowing." When she bore her, she said, "My Lord, I have borne a female child." And Allah knew better what she had borne, and the male child she expected was no match for the female child she had borne. And I have named her Mary, and I commend her and her offspring to your care against the evil of the outcast Satan. Thereupon her Lord accepted her with a gracious acceptance and made her grow up in a worthy fashion, and he charged Zechariah with her care. Whenever Zechariah visited her in the sanctuary, he would find provisions with her. He said, "O Mary, from where does this come for you?" She said, "It comes from Allah. Allah provides whomever He wishes without any reckoning." Here in this set of verses, there are many points worthy of noting. The first is that the story of Maryam's birth is focused on her and her mother, the widow of Prophet Imran alayhi salam. He is absent from the story, and it is said that Imran passed away before Maryam salamullahi alayha was born. His wife, Lady Anne, or Hannah in the biblical tradition, sister to the wife of Prophet Zechariah alayhi salam, makes a beautiful vow, dedicating her child to the service of God and calling to him in a prayer that was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he eternalized it in the Quran. The story of Maryam's birth is interesting, because it was expected for her to be the male Messiah that had been prophesied. And when she was born as a female, her mother was surprised, and her prayer and surprise is also noted in this verse. There is an interesting comment here that has caught the attention of traditional mufassirun and feminists alike, and that is the phrase,
وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى,
and the male child is not like the female child. Some mufassirin, like Alama Tabatabai, have entered a discussion as to who is speaking in this quote. Is it Lady Hannah who says such a statement, or is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? After a short analysis, he concludes that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the one making the statement. So what does it mean for the male not to be like the female? In the Islamic tradition, while gender is not deemed to be the end-all, be-all, it is noted as relevant. There are various Shari'i rules or legislative rules that differ between men and women, and this statement, which interestingly makes an appearance in the story of female piety, is worth pondering over. Some suggest that the phrase is demeaning, but a closer look at the statement within the context of the story indicates otherwise. Immediately after stating that the male is not like the female, which according to Mufassirin like Alama Tabatabai means that the male child that Hanana was expecting was no match for the incredible female child that was Sayyidah Maryam salamullahi alayha. But immediately after stating this phrase, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters a discussion of the miracles of Sayyidah Maryam salamullahi alayha and how Prophet Zechariah alayhi salam, a male prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was astounded at her piety. In these verses, we see the incredible trust that Maryam salamullahi alayha had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that she not only knew that all sustenance, both extraordinary, ordinary, physical, and spiritual, was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but she believed in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides without any measure, abundantly and without human effort. Her piety is so magnificent that upon witnessing miraculous food, which was out of season fruit that was brought to her private quarters by angels, Prophet Zechariah alayhi salam sees this and is immensely inspired, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imploring him for a pious child. It is here where he receives news of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam in his old age. There are times in which we look to the differences between men and women or to statements like these and find them confusing. But within these stories, there is a beautiful lesson for us to pay attention to what matters. And that is nothing other than our servitude and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gender is relevant, but it is within our womanhood or our manhood that we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and proximity to Him, neither of them being obstacles to His pleasure. It was this facet of Sayyidah Maryam salamullahi alayha that made her stand out among all others, and it is this piety that we seek to emulate, not just as women, but as mentioned in Surah Tahrim, as an example for all believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.